All right, so we just left off in John 4 with the woman saying that she did not have a husband, and Jesus saying, that's true, you don't have a husband, you've had five husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband. And so how does she respond to this? In verse 19, she says, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. And so she instantly says, whoa, it seems like you know so much. You know all about my life, my history, everything that I might not want to be sharing with a stranger. I perceive that you are a prophet, so one who knows and has revelation from God. And then she turns the conversation. So now she starts to steer it away from this living water that we were talking about, or away from her husbands and the man that she's currently with, and her seeking this love from all of these different men. And she continues. So she says, I perceive that you're a prophet. And now, since she perceives that he's a prophet, she decides to ask him a question. She says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you, that means you the Jews, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship. And so she is seeking from him guidance of, well, you must be a man of God or of something. She still doesn't quite understand what's going on. You must be able to tell me where we should actually be worshiping. Is it here on this mountain, or is it in Jerusalem? And then in verse 21, Jesus responds to her. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. And so he says, hey, a time's coming where it's not going to be on this mountain or in Jerusalem. And we know, thankfully, that that time has come. We'll see here in a second. But he's changing this conversation from tying to these two locations, saying that this isn't about where you worship. It's not Jerusalem, the city, or this mountain, or that mountain, or this location. He changes the conversation based on it's not any of these locations. And he says, you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. And so he's saying, first, it's not in either of these locations. And you worship what you don't know. We worship, we Jews are worshiping what we do know. So there's this tie there that's saying salvation is coming from the Jews, that the true church is coming through the Jews, through Israel. And we see throughout the Gospels and in the epistles that salvation was first for the Jews and then for the Gentiles. We are grafted into that long faith that starts way back in Genesis 3 all the way through. There's that thread, and from the seed of Abraham, we as Gentiles are brought into there, because it says salvation is from the Jews. So that's where it starts, and then it goes out from there. And he continues, he says, but the hour is coming, and it is here now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. So the hour's coming. Actually, in fact, it's here now, when the true worshipers are going to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And so he's taken this question about the location, is it Jerusalem or this mountain, and said, it's not about this location. It's about salvation coming from the Jews. It's about who you worship. So he's gone from what is the location and how do we worship to it's not about that, but it's about who you're actually worshiping. You, as the Samaritan woman, are worshiping what you don't know, what you don't understand. You don't conceptualize who you're actually worshiping. The true saved Jews know who they're worshiping, and the time is now when they are worshiping the Father. And the how they're worshiping him is in spirit and in truth. And he continues, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And so he goes from the hour is here now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So this is telling us then how we worship. It's not all bodily. It's not corporal. It's not a manner of our flesh in how we worship him. We are worshiping him in spirit because God is spirit. And so there's this transition from a place and understanding that we must go to this special and holy place. We must do these special activities in our body to be worshiping God, to now we worship in spirit and in truth. So it's a matter of your spirit, and it's a communion between your spirit and God. It's not a special place where we go. And so that's why today, when we talk about going to church, church isn't just a building where we go on Sundays. No, church is the corporate gathering of God's people worshiping him together. And when the church gathers, it is the gathering of these people that creates the church. And then there is this special time of the gathered people who are worshiping together in spirit. Yes, there is a place that they are worshiping. Yes, it is a temporal place where we are corporately gathered, but it is also a spiritual gathering. And it's a gathering of truth. And so that's what he also talks about here. He says, you worship what you don't know. We worship what we do know. Time's coming when those will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. There is one God. We will worship him in truth. It's the first and greatest commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. And then the summation of these is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He is the one God. There is no other. He is the only one who deserves and is honored by our worship. And so that is what Jesus is pulling at here, that there's this time, and it's now, where we move to spiritual worship, and that it is the only true form of worship, only worshiping the Father. And the woman responds to this and says to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. So she says, I know there's one coming, the Messiah, so that's the Savior who is coming, and he's going to reveal all things. He's going to be the best prophet. And so it shows here that she does have some hope, possibly, in the coming of a Messiah. I know that that Messiah is going to come. He is going to be Christ, the Savior. And then, beautiful verse here in verse 26, Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And so this is an amazing revelation here. Jesus is revealing himself to this Samaritan woman that he met at the well, the Samaritan woman who's had five husbands and is with a man who isn't her husband now, a woman who is hiding from some of this sin and shame and guilt. This woman who's questioning where you worship, Jesus reveals to her that he is the Messiah, the very Christ. And we see there are plenty of times where demons are declaring that Jesus is the Christ or the Son of God, and he always responds to them and rebukes them and tells them, you may not go off and continue to say that. My time has not yet come for you to tell everyone that I am the Christ. And he reveals himself to his close disciples, but this time he is very compassionate and very gracious with this woman, where he reveals to her fully and completely that he is the Christ, the Messiah. And so this is such a beautiful verse. A great way to wrap up this section is this revelation that Jesus is the Christ. Very clean, very clear statement of the truth. And so we can take this and we remember and we worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We worship Jesus because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father except through him, because he is the Messiah. It is through his broken body and his shed blood that we are made clean, that we are washed clean of our sin. And it is only through him paying for that sin that we can go and stand before God and worship him, because it is only those who are without sin that can enter into God's holy presence, because God is so holy. And so we worship God today. We worship Jesus today. Be reminded and praise him for Jesus being the Messiah. Praise him for the scriptures, that we get to read this today and that we get to read such clarity of Jesus declaring that he is the Messiah. So let us go today and worship him and praise him.